At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian, the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me in our state-of-the-art recording studio above Public Square Coffee in downtown La Mesa is my lovely wife, my co-host, who prematurely cheers there, my best friend, Melissa Nickerson, who's
kind
of like a Lisa Frank top on. Yeah.
If I had like a neon necklace on, yeah.
Yeah.
Because Lisa Frank, she knew how to do it.
Yeah, it's Lisa Frank. It's kind of like.
Cheetah print, zebra print.
Yeah.
Neon.
Trapper Keeper.
Yeah.
Like a lot of teal blue.
Yeah.
And purple.
Also kind of like 80s movie villain-ish, like kind of, you know, like. You got some evil plan. One of the businessy type evil ones, you know, not the Russian types or
like
German.
Kindergarten cop.
There you go. So,
no good.
With us is Andy Lara as well.
Oh my!
Speaking of Monty Python, yeah.
Whoa, there it was. Okay,
there you go.
I didn't place it.
You ever
I'm catching up?
You ever not see a movie as much as other people have seen it? That is, here are my examples 1 and 2. Monty Python and the Holy Grail and The Princess Bride, where there are
the cult following.
Yeah, where people like want to talk about it all the time, and you're like, no, I saw it a couple times. I don't know it like you do. I know The Knights of Knee. Yeah. I know that. I know it's just a flesh wound, but you go much deeper than that. Yeah, exactly. You go much deeper than like the top 3 quotes. Same with Princess Bride. If you go much deeper and I'm here to kill you or whatever, you're like, I got it. No, I know what you're referencing, but you're like, you guys are pull some deep cuts. I like it, but it's not my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's wild is thinking about how my dad introduced that movie to me. And
yeah.
Knowing my dad now. Love him. And also that and Wayne's World like are both tantamount introductions as a young person.
Yeah. I mean, Wayne's World is one of mine, I can do it. And then pretty much everything from The Lord of the Rings, where I'll pull out some very random stuff. And you're like, what? And I'm like, you know. From that, and you're like, no? You're like, all right, well, you should.
I'm like, I saw that on Christmas Day in 2004. It's been 21 years.
No, you should know this. Yeah. But same with Lord of the Rings. You're like, you know, I remember the big ones, you know, but I can carry you, you know. Yeah. Oh, Sam. There are, you'll know some of it. And my axe. You'll know a couple of the biggies, you
Do
know.
There was a situation, a group situation where somebody yelled, "You shall not pass." And like, I died.
Yeah. Yeah.
So top 10 funniest moments.
Which is so funny to me because as someone who loves those movies and books, like, I don't like that when people use that line. If somebody says, you shall not pass, I'm like, shut up. You don't know about it like I do.
It meant more to him.
You don't care about it like I do. Like when we went to I always forget the name of it. It's not the Museum of Modern Art. That's MoMA in New York. The one in Seattle, the pop culture one. What's it called again?
It
changed its name after we left. Whatever it is. Yeah. But they have one of the Ring Wraith's swords there. And I just like stared at it for a good 20 minutes. And you're like, is that the one that was forged together? I'm like, no, it wasn't that one. This is one of the Wraith swords. It's a totally different sword. Get your facts together. It's black. You think Aragorn had a black sword? No.
No.
That was the one that cut off the hand and then had to get reforged. And then, you know the story. Okay. Obviously, you know the details like me. But
it wasn't me. It was there was a mom there with her son.
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like her little kid son. And she's like, oh, I think that's Lord of the Rings. And then they like walked away.
No, she said something like, I think that that.
Kind of dismissive.
No, she mixed it up with another movie.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't even remember what it was.
It's like the sci-fi wing where they have like all these things.
It's very good.
From the movies. It's fantastic. But she might have said like The Hobbit or like she was wrong.
She was wrong.
She was wrong. And, you know, you were irked.
It's black. It's a black sword. You think he had a black sword? What are you talking about? Anyways, guys, we got a great episode here for you today. Mel didn't start the clock. She never does. We could be 5 minutes in. We could be 25 minutes
time
in.
Is infinite. And that clock is also broken.
You want to hit it now, maybe? What do you think?
Sure. Well, I was going to plug the Zoom hang before I forget.
Okay. Well, why don't you start the clock?
Up against two forces.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which to remember.
I would forget something else.
When Andy said when we take a week off, we never know if it's going to be, would you say spicy?
Spicy or dead.
Spicy or dead. I think we might be a little closer to spicy than dead.
Andy. We're not that easy to pin down.
Yeah, yeah. You come in with a shirt like that, it's going to be spicy.
No.
Hmm?
Huh?
You get some, if you guys don't know about Patreon, it's a way you can give a little more to the pod, get a little more from the pod. And, Mel, you are silly. We got a silly Mel today.
Yeah. All right. We got a Patreon Zoom.
No, I would, I'm just going to sit back and watch this
on
pitch.
On Tuesday, June 17th.
I said pitch.
Oh my God. Dustin, don't do this to me.
I'm just...
Okay, I had to remember the date. That's why I had it my calendar open. So,
I was under here checking her Snapchat.
I don't have a Snapchat. Then he would just get really hot.
I feel great.
Well, we already... Everybody knows that...
Bell's got a case of the giggles.
I can't even be serious. Oh my gosh. All right. Don't look at me. Don't look at me. Okay, you already plugged it.
I didn't mention the hang.
So June 17th, we have a Zoom hang, and it's a lot of fun.
They're not.
You gotta check it out.
They're not this lively. Usually, the Patreon Zoom hangs. There might be some laughs, but usually not. It's good.
Oh my gosh, it's over.
What got a hold of you there?
I don't know. It was the way you were looking at me, and I just couldn't like take anything serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're not serious people.
No, and I had to do I had to monologue, and I just couldn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
Truly hilarious.
Well, if that's not a good sell for our Patreon, I don't know what is.
come for a very non-serious time. That is the plug.
Yeah.
I like it.
Do you ever feel guilty for not being a serious person?
No.
Yeah, I no. sometimes do because, you know, serious people, they think they're so important.
Or artists.
Yeah. I don't think that important, but.
I just can't not get tickled.
Yeah?
You know? I just can't not, like, laugh. It's just, it's too much.
It's great.
Right?
It's great. Listen. It's nice to see some joy around here.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Guys, speaking of joy, I got some upcoming comedy shows. Yesterday, I was at the Hollywood Improv. I hope it went well. This weekend, starting tonight, I'm going to be at Hilarity's Comedy Club in downtown Cleveland, Ohio, June 12th through 14th, four shows. And then on Sunday, Father's Day, I'm going to be in Cincinnati. Next weekend, I'm in Providence, Rhode Island, my first time at the Comedy Connection. The following weekend, I'm going to be at the Parkway Theater in Minneapolis. If you're thinking about buying tickets, buy them. They're almost sold out. And then I go into, these are the ones I need to focus on, the pronunciations. Eau Claire, and the O is like an octopus. So Petoskey, Michigan. Great Lakes Center for the Arts, Petoskey, Michigan. I'm going to be there. You know what? Actually, real quick, this is good. We're going to be multi. I need to film a promo video for Petoskey. And so we're going to make it in one here, guys. This is a nice little see.
Two for one.
Michigan, June 29th, I'm going to be at the Great Lakes Center for the Arts in Petoskey, Michigan. I believe that's what it is. It might be Bay Harbor. This isn't going to work. I have to look up exactly what city it's in. Never mind. It was a great idea. And then in July, I'm going to be in Mobile, Alabama, New Orleans, San Antonio. We just had another show in San Antonio and a second show in Pottstown, PA as well. Richmond, we just added a third show. Asheville, we just added. That's a new date on there. AU Parna Listening Room. I don't know a lot about the venues in Asheville. They're very unique, but I'm excited to be there because the person who produces this, Melissa, says it's a great room. So just go to my website to buy that. Somebody asked that on the fan group recently. Where's the best place to buy tickets? Always go to the link that's on my website.
Yeah.
Overall, from an entertainer or artist that you're looking to see, just go from the link that they put on their website. That's the one they trust the most. So just added that Asheville, North Carolina, and then into Greenville, South Carolina. August and beyond, Madison, Charlotte, Stamford, Connecticut, Murray, Kentucky, Somerville, Massachusetts, Kansas City, Seattle, Corvallis, Nashville, San Diego, Tulsa, Oklahoma City, Brooklyn, New York, New Brunswick, Addison, Houston. Coming as always.
All right. Mm-hmm.
As I've been saying, I tour for a living. That's what I do out here. So I'm going to do a little weekend recap. Interesting. So I took a lot of May off because May is very busy. And then got back to it, but kind of hybrid because we were doing shows, but still a lot of senior parties and stuff going on.
Yeah, there was a weekend that you almost filled, and we had held it for track, and anyways.
We had
too many award ceremonies.
I mean, we can talk. We can talk and candidly on here. I had an offer to be out with Nate that weekend. I had an offer to be out with Taylor that weekend,
and it held it for track.
Yeah,
and it was. And then still, like at the last minute, you could have jumped on one of those tours. And anyways, we both went to award ceremonies, different award ceremonies.
Ended up being very
Friday
good
night
to be home. Yeah.
And then Saturday, you did some shows in L.A.
Yeah.
Wild.
Take
wildly
breaks.
Busy.
Comics, take breaks. People in general, take breaks when you can. But, there is, I hate to, comics, we talk about this sometimes, like, and it's almost, like, cliche and almost, a little too self-involved, but you're like, you do have to live some life to do what comics do.
Yeah.
Which is...
You can't just be in airports.
You can't just be in airports and hotels. Yeah, it's good to... At least for what I do. I guess some people can.
Yeah.
There's been getting some great hotel bits over the years.
You will only write airport and hotel bits if that's all you do.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So so we were home for a ton of it. Let me do the Vegas recap, and then we'll talk a little bit about you know, all these senior parties and graduation and stuff that we've been going to. And then we'll talk about some volleyball as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in Vegas this last week, and everyone that came out to shows, thank you. People did show up for the early shows, as they do. So Wise Guys Comedy Club, which has they're based in Salt Lake, and they've expanded to Vegas, and they had two rooms. And I was at this one at they had one in the Arts District, which I did last time, and then they have this one in the Town Center,
mm-hmm.
which is amazing as a comedian, because the biggest hassle of Vegas is dealing with the Strip, right? Like,
yeah.
Parking is a whole situation. It takes forever to get into your hotel.
Valet, yeah.
Yeah. Now, when I'm doing it with famous people, it's a piece of cake. Someone hands you your room key as you get in, and there's a car waiting for you. Great. Well, I'm not that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But this was, you're staying at a hotel 7 minutes from the airport, and you're in the Town Center, which, if you don't know Vegas, you know, there's the Strip, and then before the Strip, like towards the California side, it just goes on for a while. There's like Mandalay Bay is like kind of like the last one. And then there's
on
some
the strip,
random
right?
hotels, and then there's like mm-hmm. the Pinball Museum, which is actually pretty cool.
It is.
And mm-hmm. then a little for it's like where the it's where the Welcome to Fabulous Las Vegas sign is, and then a little past that is like a mall. And mm-hmm. I was in the mall, which is so funny because that's what comedy feels like in general.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what we're
mm-hmm.
always at malls. So I was at that mall, and the hotel was across the street from the venue. It was great. I felt like I was just on the road in Vegas. Like I could see it from a distance, and it was all locals too, which mm-hmm. is great. One of the hard things about Vegas is you're like, I don't know who's here. Where are you guys from? What unifies all of them?
Yeah, on the Strip, it's like a cruise.
Yeah,
you're just like who tourists.
Yeah, with mm-hmm. a dirty Elmo.
Yeah.
But the it was great. I really liked the shows, but I haven't even told you this yet. So Saturday I had like the full I don't know how to say this, like just the full roller coaster that is being a stand-up comedian, particularly stand-up comedian at my current career level. So early show was great. It was pretty packed out. It was almost sold out. And crushed, felt amazing, had fans, sold a bunch of merch, did a ton of pictures, fantastic, literally got a standing ovation. Don't get those very often. Had a picture, awesome, standing yeah. ovation. Mm-hmm. I was like, I was nervous about ticket sales this show. But knowing where I do for a living, this is some Dusty's Comedy Corner stuff, it is, you are still thinking like, I got a second show
mm-hmm.
and I've seen these ticket counts and I know it's not going to be like this. So enjoy this, but no, I got to get back to work. And you're always kind of thinking about that. So I get in the second show and it's light and it's fairly low energy. And you're like, okay, well, it's late. Late shows can be like this anyways. They might still be having a good time. We'll see.
They're just tired.
They're tired, mm-hmm. and there might be some free tickets in here, and who knows what's going on. I'm kind of walking as I'm walking to the stage. I'm like, okay, so I know what to do. I know how to do a late show. I know how to punch up some crowd. I got a nice compliment I read to you from a comic, and I'm like, all right, punch them. And I look to my left. There's like two guys here, and then three guys behind them, and I think they're a group. And one of the guy is just full on asleep. And like, I mean, asleep, not like dozing and coming into, but he is asleep and he's like nodding and he can't figure out, like, it felt like mm-hmm. when you were like trying to sleep on a plane, mm-hmm. not sleeping in class, sleeping in a class. You were trying to stay awake if you could, sleeping on a
yeah.
plane. He looked like he was trying to sleep.
He just needed a neck pillow.
He needed a neck pillow. He needed a bed. And he's doing this, and he's doing this, and he's doing his hands on the head. And I was like, and every comic instinct I have is going like, don't. My old younger comic would have dealt with like, dude, you just fell asleep. Da 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 da. And I'm like, the majority of people are having a good time.
And they can't see him.
They right. can't see
mm-hmm.
him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. People fall asleep at live events. It happens. Like
mm-hmm.
it's just, it's late. Who knows what's going on in their lives?
Yeah.
And then he starts snoring.
Oh my gosh.
Like during a sleep bit, by the way, like, cause I talk a lot about sleep there anyways. And I like, I don't even remember how I got it, but I noticed him snoring. I was like, is he snoring? And then I got a big pop. And so I'm like looking at his friends, like, and I can't, I told everybody what I was thinking. I was like, I walked on stage, like, I'm going to try and crush so hard that I wake him up. That was my goal. Yeah. I was like, he'll realize he's missing a good show. And I actually had already gotten a lot of laughs. I started to get some applause breaks. I was like, I'm going to wake this guy up. He's going to realize, wow, what a great show. And I couldn't wake him up. He was out,
out.
And then his friends started to shake him. And they started to film him. And I didn't film any of this because I don't particularly care to film the crowd. If people do, that's fine. But I didn't, and I wasn't filming these shows anyways. And it doesn't matter. It's a live show. Have fun with the live show. Mm-hmm. But I was like doing everything and just doing some bits about it. I was like, you know, what does he do for a living? And they're like, we're all, we're all Air Force. And I was like, thank you for your service. And, good to see you guys hard at work. I couldn't wake him up. Snoring. And then, again, at a certain point, he snored again. And I'm like, I have to deal with this because I can't ignore snoring because it's the worst heckle imaginable. I'd rather somebody go, I hate you. That is not funny. Than snoring. Mm-hmm. Snoring is the most insulting.
Was it loud?
It was very loud. Yeah. Everyone in the room heard it because you're not getting laughs the entire time during a comedy show.
Setting up a joke.
You have to have setups. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this guy would not snore during a laugh. He would only snore. And finally, the guy goes next to me, goes, and it should have hit me earlier. They're like, he's blackout drunk. And I was like, that's it. That's why because he was Pez dispenser, which I made that joke on stage. At one point, he was doing this. I was like, you're not tired. You're unconscious. Like, you're gone. And I was like, well, this is starting to get a little more sad. And then actually, the staff asked him, they escorted them out, and his friends had to, like, carry him out, which you're like, it was just kind of a bummer. But it was just such a funny, and of course, that's what everybody remembered from the show. Mm-hmm. It was so funny, and I got a bunch of messages about this. And I've told you before, you hope that you get big enough that this is a fun story for three dozen people in Las Vegas. They're like, dude, I saw Dustin Nickerson for 40 people.
Mm-hmm.
And one guy fell asleep, and we were at the mall, and he handled it like a pro, and it was so funny. And now look at him, and you're like, oh, I mean, hopefully that happens. Hopefully they're like, no, people sleep during Dustin. I mean, it's at a certain point you take it personally. Remember, it happened during Overwhelmed, during my special. It's in the special, you know?
Yeah.
So anyways, I went from standing ovation to someone falling asleep.
Oh, my gosh. This is fantastic.
I mean, I think that story might have put you to sleep. I think I lost you during that.
That's a level of diversity to be celebrated.
Yeah. The ups and downs.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just forgot what I was going to say.
No, I lost you halfway. I lost you halfway through that story. I was like, I'm telling this to the listeners and Andy, but I cannot get Melissa just glazed over.
She's like, I came with this shirt today. I am here to party.
I can't get about our episodes is I never really know what I'm getting out of Mel. Mel never knows what she's getting out of Mel either.
I wish I could remember what I was going to say.
Yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I lost it. Well, I'm sorry about that.
No, it's all right.
No, I think I was trying to think.
Are you sorry about someone fell asleep or about how you fell asleep in the middle of my story?
Sorry for both.
I was like, this is a pretty good story. I mean, I know it's not like I'm not going to tell it on a late night panel, but I think this is good podcast banter.
Well, what I was going to say, which would have been good if I could have remembered in the moment, was like, the worst scenarios make funny stories, and so at least you got a good story out of it.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what I was trying to think
good.
Of saying.
Yeah.
But I couldn't.
Yeah.
It would have been good if I had remembered.
Listen, I get that having someone fall asleep during your show isn't, like, ideal. Mm-hmm. Still less, I don't know, what's the word? abrasive than volleyball whistles. We're in this world now of volleyball, which you weren't in, and I wasn't in.
No.
And suddenly, it's so funny because, you know, people have been asking, like, how's Joel's graduation and stuff? And it's great. It was momentous. We've been going to grad parties and stuff, and we'll probably talk more about it because you're still processing a lot of having your kid graduate, and then they're there, and they're off, and they still got to go to college. You've got orientation. Like, it's not the the leaving the nest speech. It's like they're not leaving the nest after the ceremony. They're still very much in the nest,
yeah,
and you're still paying for the nest.
It's he just went to grad night. He's got grad party after grad party. It's just it's constant.
It doesn't feel over even a little bit. If anything, he's more around now because he's out of school.
Yeah.
So I'm not like, oh, I just miss you. Like, oh, no, you're here. You're here. So you're sleeping because it's noon, but you're here. but like, you know, you're at this big graduation, and but like life keeps ticking because immediately the next day the daughter has a recital.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day or a choir concert. And the next day I hit the road, got to go back to work.
Yeah.
And then the next day.
Bonfire.
A bonfire at the beach. Yeah.
And then she wants to go to swap meet. And then she wants
they're
to,
just,
you know.
Your kids still need you and life keeps going on. But we're in this volleyball world now. And I've gone to a couple of tournaments, but most of them have the weekend. And you're just, it's so funny when I think about like when we were kids like playing sports, like, dude, my God, I have my game. I have my game today.
Mm-hmm.
Tournaments were very rare. Like, and it mm-hmm. it almost like, I mean, when you're like, did you go to your kid's game? You're like, game? Single game? What are you talking about, game? You were at a tournament where you had two daughters playing four games each.
So they each played three.
Yeah.
And if they had won, they would have played four.
Yeah.
But the funny thing was, is they just, every time this tournament, they played at the same time. Yeah. They were both like... They were both in the game at exactly the
same
time.
How do you choose in that scenario?
Well, so what I do is well, it's a whole thing. So the alarm goes off at 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
And then you try and make sure, see if the girls are up. And then Gloria's like, why do we have to get up right now? And you're just like, just get ready.
Yeah.
I don't want to fight. Just get ready.
Yeah.
You know, just you've already pre-packed.
That's advanced parenting. I'm not going to fight. I've been saying
this.
We're
not answering why questions at 5 in the morning.
That's exactly.
Just get your shoes
just
on.
Get your shoes. I've been saying this more and more to our kids of like, whatever reason I give you, you will not agree with. I'm not going to give you, I don't owe you a why. You just have to get ready. Just get ready.
It's 5:30 and we leave at 6.
Yes.
We aim to leave at 6.
Uh-huh.
And we get a food at Starbucks. We hit the parking lot, which is it's a whole thing. We park. We file in with all our stuff to the tournament. And I take a blanket. I position it at Gloria's court to have a bench seat next to the team mom.
Yeah,
she's fantastic. And then I go check on Claire's team, which is the other side of the gym. No way I'm getting a seat on that side. There's like one bleacher for like five teams.
No, go get some calf races in.
So then I'm
calf.
Just...
Yeah, sorry, go
ahead. So then I'm just kind of ping-ponging between the two courts.
Mm.
And then they'll go outside if they have a break and
you are a volleyball that's being volleyed between over the net.
But I will say this is the end of the season. This was our last local tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Nationals, which is in Irvine.
They're all in Irvine, but baby.
It doesn't... Nationals is a big word for driving to Irvine for us.
For us, yeah.
But a lot of the Midwest is coming to Irvine for this tournament. So it's very much Nationals for them.
Yeah. Don't go to Disney that week, guys.
or Spectrum, for that matter.
Honestly.
Spectrum.
Yeah.
But...
Hey, don't go to that orange balloon, for that matter. That's going to be packed, too.
It's going to be busy.
Good luck getting a reservation at the Hello Kitty Cafe. It's booked.
Uh-huh.
Yard House is going to be packed.
Packed. But, yeah, so it's nice because at this point of the season, like, I know parents and they'll text me videos of the girls or they'll text me, like, they're playing again or Gloria just got in. But when it gets closer and closer to game point, You know, like, I do choose Claire, the younger one. This is her first season. She's 11.
Yeah.
Gloria is okay if I miss part of her game.
We've gone to more of her games.
She's
over
had
the...
so many games.
Yeah.
She started playing volleyball 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
She's not like, Mom, you missed my serve.
Yeah.
But Claire is.
Yes.
Claire is like, why'd you leave? Like, you know, so Gloria knows, and
yeah,
she's okay with it.
Volleyball
This won't be her first game. This won't be her last game.
Volleyball has made me feel like I'm not missing as much because, you know, a track meet, there's a very limited amount of those. Mm-hmm. But volleyball, you know, like you said, there's six games between the two girls. That was just one Sunday.
Yeah.
And in the fall, there are two games a week. You're like, oh, there's a lot of these.
If there's 10 girls on a team, you know, like this is club, but it's a developmental league, so everyone gets playing time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're at high school, you could miss, you know, some of the athletes do not play much.
Right, right.
You know, so that's the hard part, mm-hmm, is if you can only go to X number of games, like, you might not see your kid play.
It's true,
at that game.
Yeah.
But that's just the nature of, they need to win.
Yeah.
Not like we're developing the team.
I think that,
you know,
some
so
of these,
it's different.
I think that some of these kids have changed even their mindset, though. They're not like looking to the stands to see their parents the way, like the classic, like, hook, my dad missed the game, so it's okay that I got kidnapped by a pirate type story. I'm going into the plot line of Hook now. I remember Peter Pan.
I forgot that was the plot line. I always remember him hitting the baseball in the airplane and the mask comes down.
So Robin Williams.
Yeah, he's
Peter
a busy dad.
He's a busy dad. Classic story, you know, because busy dads get a bad knock.
Yeah. And everyone loves him at the office. Don't forget about that.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, like,
I did forget about that.
And now I'm like, someone's got to pay for that league.
That was a really nice house they had.
Yeah.
That's true. Wendy was a baller.
Yeah. That's pretty funny. When you look back, you're like, I can see, you know, it's busy.
It's a nice nursery.
It's a nice nursery, yeah. And then on the ship,
Hook's
really proud of Jack, right?
Yeah.
And they get a baseball game, and Hook's like, that's my boy, Jack.
Right.
And then they cut to Peter, and he's like, that's my boy, Jack. You know, so it was a whole situation.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Well, I'm glad we could talk about it right now.
Speaking of movies that you saw once, that for me,
you remember who was Tinkerbell in that?
Julia Roberts.
The cast is unbelievable.
It is. Mm-hmm. Incredible.
And you know who directed it?
Spielberg.
Spielberg.
Well, all the
book is so good. Dude.
All
it's
of
so
the
good.
Yeah. Lost Boys are really good too.
Yeah,
and they have the food fight.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Don't forget about is it Bette Midler? Is it Bette Midler or is it who am I thinking of? That gets put in the boo box. He's dressed up as a male pirate.
I forget about this.
Whoa.
Yeah. I haven't seen
Hook
in a long
time. That was like a big deal. It was like, whoa, like, that's a female actor as like a pirate. That was just like a really wild.
Wow,
like,
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, there's lots of
there you go.
Little Easter
Again,
eggs in that movie.
Look that up. I'm so.
Who it was.
Let's just watch Hook for the rest of this podcast, actually.
It's going to be a Hook showing. Wow.
So what I'm saying is, like, that classic idea, I think when they have more games, like, there's a little less, like, longing. Like, if you miss a set, Gloria's not like, where were you, Mom?
I think the older the kids get, the more you see one parent at a sporting event.
Yeah, because likely the other parent's working and or is at another kid's sporting event or event of some type.
Sorry, Glenn Close.
Glenn Close.
I always get them mixed up.
It's all right. Yeah.
And then I think Phil Collins is actually in it, too.
Oh, that so, I think. Yeah. That's hilarious.
Yep. Go on.
That's great.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's such a good story. Like, Peter Pan is such a good story.
Remember when Tink got big? I remember. Yeah. There you go.
Wow.
No, I remember watching that as like a young male and being like, whoa.
Well, there's a lot
wait
of
a minute,
layers.
Wait a minute. Tinkerbell is.
Because that's why she's so mad at Wendy the whole movie.
And now, fast forward a few years later, Melissa's in high school wearing a little Tinkerbell dress to some date to some dance with some boy.
He had a Disney dance.
There's a dance in high school. Melissa went to it.
Yeah.
You probably planned the thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
I'm still stunned you haven't chaperoned any of our kids' dances.
Well, I'm pretty busy on Friday and Saturday nights. I know.
Sometimes you are. Other times you're not.
No.
You're busy. I don't mean like you don't. I mean, you're busy with the commitments of the children. Yes.
I'm not busy, but I'm on call. Yeah. So like, you know, there's the parents
that
work the snack bar at the football games.
Yeah.
Like I haven't been to a football game in like 2 years, a high school football game, because I'm driving the other children around.
Right.
That
right.
don't drive. So they're like, I want to go to the farmer's market.
Yeah.
Actually, that was something that happened this weekend, was our 11-year-old.
I hate this story, Andy.
She did like a hang. Like, drop me off at the
farmer's market downtown.
It was literally just, drop me off at the grocery store. I'm going to walk to the farmer's market with some friends. So it was her fifth grade friend and her, and then some almost eighth graders.
Yeah.
So the brothers. So it was the friend and then the brother. And then.
I hate it, Andy.
Nothing about this.
No. The other kids at a bonfire at the beach, by the way.
We got our son. Oh my gosh. Our son was literally at Disneyland, Disneyland California Adventure for grad night. Our 15-year-old was at a Mission Bay bonfire where she lost her phone in the dark.
Somehow got it back. Somehow lost a black iPhone
in the sand,
in the dark, at the beach.
At 10:45, her friend calls me to, like, you know, look for it, you know, and find my phone. And then our little one, sauntering around a farmer's market with a bunch of seventh graders and her fifth grade friend in a crop top.
I don't like any of it. I don't like any of it. Everything you said, I hated more than the last, and then the last part I hated the most was crop top.
It's not a crop top. It's like it's a tank top.
Yeah.
It's in a tank top.
It's just
looking all old.
It's like a cropped tank top. What would you call that?
It's a tube top.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. They're popular.
Yeah, it's a top.
She's in a top.
Be grateful.
She wore a top.
Can't wait for Moo Moo's to come back and
yes, please. Yes. Can we get just like just jumpsuits?
Turtlenecks.
Turtlenecks, jumpsuits, bubble.
All you have to do is live in the Northwest.
Yes. It's quite cold.
And everyone is very covered.
Yeah.
All the time.
Until a couple sunny days in spring. And you're like, oh, flip-flops for everybody, sundresses, everybody. Like, you were like, nobody is as... This was, like, one of the first things I ever had that kind of, like, went quote-unquote viral was I, like, had this old comedy blog that I did back in the day. And I wrote a blog about how Seattle was too desperate. You remember this?
Yeah.
It got, like, local news stuff. It was, like, very early on, like, comedy writing for me.
Seattle's too desperate for the sun.
Yeah, it's like, we need to play cooler about it. We need to play a little harder to get. Like, California's like, hey, whatever, the sun's out. And Seattle's like, I love you, son. There's like posted pictures over it. You're like, you're coming in too desperate. You gotta be a little more chill. You gotta be a little more like SoCal. And then we just left.
We're like, speaking of that sun.
Into the story.
We're gonna go.
Yeah.
We did leave Seattle after the rainiest summer on record.
Yes. Yeah. The funniest part of that story, by the way, about that Friday night is without context, if somebody's like, where's your husband? You're like, he's in Las Vegas.
And my husband's in Vegas. That's the biggest liability of them all.
My husband's in Vegas, you know, going crazy out there, going to some comedy show. he's at the mall.
It's a mall off the strip.
Yeah. He's
sketchier sounding.
No,
He's wasted our inheritance.
He took an Uber. Yeah. No, his big spending was he took a splurge on an Uber to go to Mothership Coffee. That was it. And he didn't go to Frankie's. Wanted to.
You
but
didn't even go to the hipster Mothership.
No, because we were closer to the one kind of in the burbs. So
the
I didn't go all the way to downtown, as they call Fremont. So, yeah, it's so funny because you feel like you know a lot about sports, but then you start to realize like every sports is a subculture, and you know, walking in to a volleyball tournament, it's, I don't even know.
It's very disorienting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But everyone, it's kind of, everyone's the same.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has a backpack. Every kid's got sweats on.
Yeah.
And a million whistles. There's a board with all the brackets.
Yeah.
You know, and then like everyone's warming up.
Right.
You will walk into a serve every time.
I think it's what I compare it to, like when you think about like a, like I think a volleyball tournament is like kind of like walking into like an old world market. You know what I mean? Where like immediately you just hear noise. Mm-hmm. That the first thing that you notice is like whistling and yelling and screaming and cheering and fighting. And there's that's going on over there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like some competitions happening, you know, there's some gladiator type stuff. You feel like you're in first century Rome and, you know, there's some animals in here somehow. It smells terrible. It smells horrific.
There's some little children running loose.
You're like, what's the bathroom sanitary situation? But there is a market. There's food. There's vendors. There's a lot of vendors. There's some statues, people. It's a lot to take in. And if you don't know that world, it's so overwhelming because they're like, hey, you're on court 75. Yeah. You're like, what? You're like,
play,
no.
Play ref, play off, play.
Yeah. What? Hey, you're on court 75. And then you look up at the numbers. You're like, well, this court says one, and this one says 312. And they're like, yeah, no, 75's that way. And it's like the ocean. Mm-hmm. You just stare out into the abyss. And it's, you know what it is? It's the constant whistling. I don't know how these girls can differentiate what whistle is on their court. Because at a certain point, into a volleyball tournament, it's actually just kind of one continuous whistle.
Yes.
It never stops. Because there's so many whistles. And the way that they're echoing off the wall and through those gym vents. You just kind of never stop hearing a whistle. Just
eight hours.
It's very it varies in loudness. You're like, is there a propeller jet?
The sound waves going to space.
Yeah. Whoa, okay. And then
Yako in the corner.
Yeah. and then you look up and you just clap. And you're like, your daughter's
injured. Did we get the point?
Like, your daughter's injured. Oh, no.
I'll go find ice.
Yeah. And you're like, can you save some for me, please?
Well, actually, I did have a terrible experience on Sunday.
Yeah?
And what happened was... we had a cross court play, which is like when you take your bracket and join another bracket for like a final three games.
Yeah.
And so we played, we got really close, but we lost. But then we had to ref. And then if we had won, we would have played another game.
Okay.
So play, ref, go home.
Mm-hmm.
And Claire was done. That usually happens. Her games are faster. And I'm like, girls, I'm going to go get Chipotle. It's only 15 minutes.
Yeah.
We got your orders. I'm going to order it. I'm going to go pick it up. Claire can come with me, or she wants to stay with Gloria. They're going to ref together. Mm-hmm. You know, like Gloria's doing the book.
Yeah.
You know, Claire gets to sit next to her. And
I'm here to tell you right now, the book's probably not getting done very well.
These are, you know, teenage girls.
You think you think you couldn't really get mad at a 12-year-old girl that isn't yours. And then she misses four calls on the line.
The line judge.
You're like, could you focus up a little bit, please? This is an expensive league.
You're like, in or out, in or out.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's so funny. But
so you're trying to
order
Chipotle.
So anyways, I'm on a journey. And I'm
landing.
You're landing from Vegas, and I really want to get the right Chipotle, so I'm using maps, not Google Maps, because I'm like, I'm using it through the app. I'm going to find this.
Yeah.
The worst thing you can do is go to the wrong Chipotle.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the worst thing you can do. The worst thing you can do is order Chipotle on a military base.
Why are they listed? Why are they listed to the general public? I can't get on this military base.
And I keep turning around because
I've done this before.
They have a different name for the street than like what the public has named the street. And I'm like, is it? No, it's got to be next to the subway. And there's a subway off base, but the Chipotle is on base. So then I'm like in the app talking to someone. I'm like trying to get this order canceled and get my $38.
Gotta get that $38 back, yeah.
And they're like, but the order's ready. And I'm like, but I can't get on base.
You're like, give it to a soldier. Give it to some family. I know there's some kid riding around there on his bike. Go give him that, yeah.
So I get back. I'm so defeated because, you know, I got up at 5:30. Here I am, like, it's 2 p.m. I'm trying to get us lunch. And I'm supposed to return with Chipotle for my hungry little athletes.
The hungry little hippos. Yep.
And who are keeping score. And they're like, they don't want to see me. They want to see the Chipotle.
Yeah. And they're being very patient, I'm sure, too.
And I'm like, it's a long story. I didn't get it.
They're like, what do you mean? Just go to the one on the base. It's not that simple. Trademark Melissa catchphrase. It's not that simple. It's pretty hard to get on a military base. And then you had some mom telling you, right, who didn't know.
I come back. I sit back down next to the team mom. I'm like, I messed up. I ordered Chipotle on the base. And she goes, you're cute. They probably would have let you on. And I was like, I don't feel confident going to a military gate. And
hey,
like,
I ordered Chipotle.
I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
I need to get my fast food.
You also grew up on military bases. You know, it's pretty secure. I've been on them once or twice where you get in, like,
it's serious.
It's pretty serious.
Yeah. And it was so funny because I told them that. I was like, I grew up on military bases. I'm not going to mess around and pick up a Chipotle order.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's. No.
You're like, actually, I paid for extra guac, so. I gotta get this. Yeah. I know this is like.
Is the guac cheaper because my taxes paid for this place?
Yeah. Is it just a little cheaper?
Was it the same price?
That's an interesting
priority question.
Yeah. Was it cheaper?
It was.
On the base?
Yeah.
Well, good.
So, excuse me. No.
It's more expensive on the base?
It's the exact same price.
Oh.
So I did. Chipotle gave me a one time. They refunded me. Someone on the base got my order.
Well, you're a pretty regular customer. They're like,
then,
this woman orders pretty much every Sunday. We got a pretty big order from North County, San Diego.
And then I ordered for the Chipotle by our house, drove the girls down, and got the Chipotle. Like, I was not going to go sideways. I had to get home.
Yeah.
But I did. Sweet team mom had packed a cooler of sandwiches. Mm-hmm. And I was so defeated. She was like, would you want a sandwich? And I did want a sandwich. And it was amazing. It was amazing.
Yeah.
I just needed some carbs.
You also had a moment.
I was so defeated.
Yeah. Because I was like texting you. I was like, I'm about to land. Do you want me to come to the tournament? Do you want me to pick up the food? And I was like, also, I was hoping maybe we could go get some coffee. And another coffee shop that we like here a lot, I think I'm wearing the hat actually, is Dark Horse. And I was like, I'll go to Dark Horse. And, and you're like, get Dark Horse. You get it.
You get the coffee. I'll get the Chipotle. Like,
and so they have these little things there. They're like these little chia
puddings.
Acai pudding type situations.
This one doesn't have acai, but
This one is
the one
a tiramisu one. They call it chia masu.
Chia masu.
And it's very good.
That's great.
And you get back after
all
that. You're sitting at the table. You have your coffee cooling down. You have your chia masu. You're about to dive into. Claire asks you for a bite.
Yeah, Claire's finished her Chipotle.
Yeah.
She's like, I want to, what's that?
Yeah.
You know, it does look like a dessert. It's, you know.
Sure.
You know,
it is kind of. Yeah.
It is kind of. It's a pudding.
And you say to her.
I'm like, this is mine. It's like, I shared the last 8 hours with you. I'm going to eat this.
Let me have this.
Because I can't have, if the kids find out how good those are.
Yeah.
Like,
yep,
it's over.
Yeah, you don't want to give them a taste for it.
They're tiny little puddings. Not for children.
No, that's not going to fill you up. You're going to want a bunch of them, and you start asking for them, and then you're like, you, my dad got Dark Horse. Can I get a chia pudding? No, you cannot. This happened with us with acai bowls at Better Buzz.
It does have alcohol in it, actually.
Yeah. That happened to us with Better Buzz. They have great acai bowls, and they'd be like, we're going to Better Buzz. They're like, can I get an acai bowl? You're like, we're getting a coffee. You're asking to throw an extra $14 on there. No. Yes. Mom and I can, but we're going to eat it. We're going to split it, and you'll never know that we had it.
We're going to eat in the car before we get home to you. But anyway, I do find that the post, it's like everything. The post meal after like a sporting event is just like very stressful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, maybe it's like a lunch after church or like a Sunday dinner. There's just something about being exhausted and hungry and you woke up early and you just need it to go right.
Yeah.
And then when it doesn't go right, and just everything falls apart.
Yeah. This is why so many of the portrayals of like moms and TV are stressed and distressed, because sometimes that is like a little bit about like you remember about your mom growing up. And you're like, man, she was just always just, she, you know, she's a little tight, you know? seemed pretty, like, I think about the mom from...
Modern Family?
Another Robin Williams movie reference, Miss Doubtfire.
Yes.
Yeah.
Remember, she was the working mom in it, too. Yeah. But there was that portrayal of, like, dad's the fun one, and mom's always stressed and busy. And then you're like, well, you know... It's pretty stressful providing for all of these humans, and you carry like we've talked about that before. Like, there's like I don't even know the word for it, but like
it's a bit of like nurturing.
It is a nurturing, yeah.
It's kind of like what we were saying, like when you're like, one of my kids is getting sick,
yeah,
and you're like, alarm bells are sounding
for you, yeah,
you know, like. Yeah. Like, which is, like, literally biology.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You're like, I need to, this one is weak, and they need help, and I gotta get them back to health. You know, like, so, like.
My cells are suffering elsewhere.
Yeah.
Exactly. Do you guys have similar dynamic? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like, I mean, if she goes into panic mode, you know, like, with one kid, it's suddenly, my mind is, like, all the organization now, like, okay, well, how do we hold all this together?
Because
all of her emotion is towards, like, I have to solve this issue now.
Yeah.
And so it's like, that's where, I mean, and her stress doubles because it's like, if I'm away or something, how is she going to handle all of it?
Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah.
You know, there's no end to that. That's terrifying.
Yeah. I think there's an example would be like if one of our kids, because our kids are older, if one of our kids says, I'm hungry, my immediate bell, or there's no bell, my brain goes, well, there's plenty of food in the house.
Yeah.
Like, there's snacks. Mm-hmm. There's, if you need, like, two of you know how to cook a little, like, you can go get something out of the fridge. Like, no alarm has gone off for me.
We did this recently where it was right before our graduation week, and I was like, I need to get home and cook dinner.
Yeah.
Like, I have the meat thawed. I got to get home and cook dinner. And you were like, I think we're good. Like, I think he's going to be gone and she's not. She just ate something. Like,
yeah.
We're good.
Yeah.
And we can just eat leftovers. Like, we're just going to piecemeal it.
Yeah.
And then, like, kind of the whole night, everyone was like, we're still hungry. We didn't eat dinner.
And you're like, this is why we should have cooked. But the reality is, in a scenario like that, and you can push back on this, we're kind of both right.
Oh, yeah.
Because you didn't need to stop everything to cook for your kids in that moment. And they did eat. And they did, even when they were hungry later, there still was food in the house. But you were also right that they were all kind of ongoing hungry because they didn't have a proper
traditional
dinner.
Traditional,
Which we do every day. Which, all five of us, Norman Rockwell, Mom, the way you present the meal each night and then pray.
Turkey to carve.
Do a few light hymns. And then...
Like candles. Yeah, it's very formal.
It's very sacred, is what I would. Family dinner is very sacred.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was just, I don't know. It was just, I texted you. Again, you were flying home. Yeah. And I was like,
from my weekend in Vegas.
You're just partying it up in Vegas. And I was like, I'm texting you like while I'm talking to Chipotle.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh man, I'm defeated.
Yeah.
Like, Chipotle beat me.
Yeah.
You know, like
Chipotle
I lost.
Won.
I lost to Chipotle.
Yeah. Not only was by contrast, this is if you want to know how my mind's different, what I'm doing in Vegas when you're not there, especially, is not only did I not have any. I mean, I ate at the club every night. The one splurge was a coffee and a chia pudding, and then that's a splurge. And then they're like, "Do you want anything to go?" And I was like, "Do you have any like?" Because they have an Atomic Duck brewery out there that's very good. And I was like, "Do you have any of those to go?" And they go, "Yeah." And they gave us four the tall ones. Yeah. And I just literally put them in my suitcase. I was like, "I'm bringing these home. I got the biggest beer. Hopefully, it doesn't go bad." No, it is interesting that the different just kind of mindset. And I think a younger version of me would kind of fight you on those things. It's fine.
Yeah.
Because there is. Maybe some of the and I don't mean to deal in tropes and stereotypes, but a lot of them are true in our relationship of where I don't, as the dad, I'm like, they need to get independent. It's actually very important that they learn to do this on themselves. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that can be tension between the husband and the wife or the mom and the dad. But in reality is it's probably good to have both people pushing that.
I think they're typically, I found this with middle and high school sports. Everyone's bring your own water bottle, pack your own sandwich. You know, you're that's all good and well. Athletes, kids need to prioritize what they need.
Yeah.
For a day of athletics.
Yeah.
Mm. But I will say that usually there is one person behind the scenes picking up a lot of
stuff. Yeah.
You know, and usually it's a seasoned parent who brought an extra set, a cooler, with waters or passed around the sunscreen, has a box of Uncrustables. So everyone, I mean, a lot of times after my son races and, this won't be the case anymore, but I will go to the snack bar and get a couple of cold Gatorades.
Yeah.
And I'll pass them out to ever just ran the race with him, mm-hmm. From our team, his team.
Yeah.
Our team.
My team.
My teammates. Because it's just nice to do.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
If you're running this race, a cold Gatorade's fantastic.
Unbelievable. I mean, period. Would love them, but I don't do anything to earn a Gatorade the way I once did.
But the point being, if you can meet a need also, for a group of children, you're it's a nice feeling. It's a nice to give.
Yeah, I would nice never know. I never have.
The nice neighbors at Halloween that are out there passing out cold ones.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, all right. Good looking out.
But I think the longer you're in youth sports or youth activities, you see the needs more.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, hey, everyone's volunteering out here.
Yeah.
These coaches are basically volunteers.
Yeah.
Or they're volunteers.
The refs are the kids.
I just mean
that was it. Terrible call. What are you, 13? Oh, you are. You're 13.
You're getting
year old.
A soft pretzel for one kid, just get another one.
Yeah.
It's
offer the stressed
kind.
Out mom a sandwich.
Yeah.
She lost at Chipotle.
Exactly. Yeah. Just be nice.
Well, get on our Facebook group and tell us thoughts about this, guys. I want to hear. I think these are pretty common dynamics that husbands and wives feel, and moms and dads. Don't make me come back there. gmail.com. Shoot us emails and so on and so forth. But I think that's it. I think we did it.
We did it.
We gotta go.
We gotta go.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hey everybody, want to give a special thanks to our As Essential As Oils patrons. That's our $25 a month and up. Thanks so much for supporting the podcast. That is Adam Bush,
Avril Griffiths,
Allison Nelson,
Andy and Darlene Gerton,
Bonnie Galindo,
Brandon Schoenberger,
Carrie Teague,
Chris Finn,
Christopher and Bridget Finland,
Code to Grow,
Courtney Eibling,
Damaris Diaz Stevens,
Daniel Owens,
Dave and Melissa Cox,
Dave Hoagland,
Dustin Daly,
Jason and Francis White,
Jen Thurk,
Jonathan Rivera,
Jordan Cowan,
Juliana Smith,
Lori Amos.
Lauren and Nick Rachel.
Matt and Sam Slazdum.
Michelle Carlson.
Nick Cordell.
Norman Perron. Perron. I'm sorry, Norman, you're the best. You're my favorite one.
Preston and Rachel Wilson.
Rachel Kennedy.
Raina Camps.
Robert and Nellie Capen.
Scott Elliott.
Stephen Menya.
And Tiffany Payne.
Thanks so much, everybody.
Thank you.